Pastor Baskin's got good news for us. We met our budget for the year this past week. And so from today, yeah, praise the Lord for that. It's good news for us. But everything we give from today on to the end of the year, we give away. It's something we call every cent sent. That every penny that you give from today to the end of the year, we put into a fund and we use it to make Jesus known right here in Tuscaloosa and literally to the ends of the earth. And look, we don't celebrate this enough. I know that. We need to do a better job of that. Really, tonight at our missions banquet at the Bryant Conference Center is a chance for you to hear some of the things that go on with Every Cent Sent. But just to give you an idea, okay? There's when the Lord opens up opportunities for us to help people, both in our community and literally all around the world, and this money is the way that we're able to do that. There was a this past year, there was a child that unexpectedly died. That parents were are immigrant workers, and they did not have the ability to pay for his funeral, and we were able to do that. Right, just to show compassion and love in Jesus' name. There. The house burned down and family lost everything. We were able to immediately step in and create a blessing there to meet a need in an immediate aftermath there that just is great. And every college student that goes from our church on with our church on a trip overseas, we half scholarship their flight, every one of them, okay? And elementary kids and middle school, high school kids as well. And so we are creating opportunities for people to go. There's need everywhere we go. I've told you stories about being in leper colonies and places like that. Every cent sent is the thing that allows us to do that, okay? And I just want to tell you, thank you for your faithful, sacrificial giving year-round that allows us to do this at the end of the year. I know this will be our fourth year to do this. 4 years ago, we didn't think we were going to be. Honestly, we thought this was probably going to be a one-time deal. We didn't think this is something that was going to keep happening. And I just because you're faithful, generous, sacrificial giving all year long, it allows us to do something that is remarkable. And we give thanks to God for that. But I just wanted to tell you that's going. So give sacrificially, and let's create an opportunity to do something special again. All right, grab your Bibles. We're going to be starting in Isaiah, and then we will go. If you want to mark two places in your Bible, you can mark Isaiah starting in verse chapter 9, and then you can mark Luke 1 if you want to. As we talk about Advent, Advent is a season of the church's calendar where we're celebrating the coming of Christ. The word Advent means coming or arrival. It's the time that we stop and celebrate the arrival of Christ. And so last week we talked about hope. The first Sunday of Advent is always a Sunday of hope where we look to Jesus who is the hope that was promised for us. The second week of Advent is the Sunday of peace. And so this week we're talking about how Jesus is the bringer of peace. He is the Prince of Peace. And this is really applicable for all of us because all of us are looking for peace, right? Every one of us are looking for peace somewhere, somehow, whether it's in your relationships, with your spouse, in our world. Maybe you just wish your kids would quit fighting so much at home and there would be peace, right? So we were talking about yesterday at the Burridge house. Like, why are you yelling? I'm going to yell, right? This isn't helping. That's sort of how it goes down at our house. We just want peace. If there could just be peace, that's what we're looking for. And the thing that this Sunday should do for us is remind us that peace isn't found in the perfect set of circumstances. Peace is found in a person, and his name is Jesus. Okay? And we want to look at the scriptures and let them point us to the fact that I'm not going to find peace at my house through creating the perfect set of circumstances, okay? And the reason why is because there's a bunch of sinners that live in my house and there aren't going to be perfect circumstances. You're not going to find peace, complete peace in your relationship because you're all broken people. We're definitely not going to find peace in our world the way that we think that we might find peace. It's not going to happen because peace isn't found in a set of circumstances. Peace is found in Christ and in Christ alone. And that's what we want to see in the scriptures today. And we're going to read a lot of scripture today, okay? If you like to fill in blanks, you can grab this little piece of paper here. We'll walk through these things together. But I want you to know up front that we're gonna read a lot of scripture because I want you to see these things. I want you to see the truth of God's word together. And look, we're very committed to the public reading of scripture here. And really the reason why is because Ligon Duncan, who is a retired pastor and president of a seminary, he said this, and it blew my mind, that Statistics show that 85% of people that attend church don't read their Bible throughout the week. So that the only scripture they see and hear in a week is what they see and hear in a worship service. And so we want to immerse ourselves in God's word. Beyond the fact that I'm an idiot, and I don't really have anything to say to you anyway that's going to change your life. Right? I don't. That's not a humble brag. I don't. I can't change your life. So we want to immerse ourselves in what God's word has to say to us, right? And let that set the agenda, let that set the focus, and pray that as his word is spoken and proclaimed, that he would use it to draw us to himself. So Isaiah 9, we'll read there, and then we'll move on from there. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7, you know these verses, but hear them again. For to us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Isaiah, moving on to chapter 26, verses 3 and 12. And look, we'll take just two verses here. And I don't normally, we like to read the whole context normally, but I want to tell you, when you come to the prophets, sometimes we'll stop and do something like this. But all of these prophecies, okay, every prophecy that you see in the Old Testament, they all find their substance in Jesus. They all find their end in Christ. You remember Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, he said, do not think I've come to abolish the law and the prophets. I haven't come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For I tell you the truth, not an iota, not a dot will pass away from the law until all is accomplished. Paul tells the church at Corinth, he says that all of the Old Testament promises, they find their yes and amen in Jesus. And so when you read these things, know that everyone, they find their yes, they find their amen in Jesus and Jesus alone. They are, these prophecies are not written about you. They're not written about me. They're written about Jesus. And so what they should do is they should all point us to Jesus, that Jesus is the perfect, complete fulfillment of the law and the prophets. And all of these prophecies find their yes and their amen in a person. And his name is Jesus. Isaiah 26, it says this, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. O Lord, verse 12, you will ordain peace for us. For you have indeed done for us. I love this. You're going to ordain peace for us because you have done for us all our works. It finds its rest in him alone because we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. He is the one that prepared them, and he is the one who is doing them for us. And then Micah 5. These are great verses. It says, but you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah. That's a good word to go home and know when you want to impress your parents when you get home from college. Okay, Ephrathah. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be the ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient days. This is talking about Jesus, and he's going to point us to the fact that God sends them back to Bethlehem. Therefore, he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel, and he shall stand and shepherd his flock. Talking about Jesus, in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they, the people, shall dwell secure. From now on, he, Jesus, shall be great where? To the ends of the earth. And Jesus shall be their peace. Paul picks up on this in Ephesians 2. We'll read about it in just a little bit. All of these things find their yes and their amen in Christ. He is our Prince of Peace. He is the one who gives us perfect peace. He ordains peace, and he himself shall be our peace. And looking from there to how this finds its fulfillment in Christ, I want to read the story of Mary in Luke 1. Verses 26 to 55. It says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel sent was sent from God to the city of Galilee, to a city named Nazareth. And a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, was of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying. By the way, don't get super spiritual in this. You would be greatly troubled at the fact that an angel came and talked to you as well. All right? Like, don't read this like, yeah, this is normal. No, this is not normal. Okay? Not normal. And what the angel is going to say is even weirder, right? "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled by the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel of the Lord said, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you found favor with God. And behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great, and be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him to the throne, give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom," Luke 9, "there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How's that going to happen, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child will be born, will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who is called barren." You know why? Because nothing is impossible with God. For the old lady that can't have a baby, so that the power of God might be displayed in her, and for the virgin who has not done anything that would allow her to be able to have a baby by physical means, on both ends of the spectrum, nothing is impossible with God. And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. And in those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby in her womb leaped. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, the sound of your greeting came to my ears. The baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And then Mary sings this song that we sing here as well. She's saying, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in the God of my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed." Why? "Because he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has sown strength with his arm and has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. And he has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." Okay, two things about Mary that I want you to see. Number one is this. Mary's trust in God's love and God's word leads her from being greatly troubled to great peace that is expressed in humble worship. Okay? She's greatly troubled, and then she has great peace, and we see that great peace expressed in humble worship. And she, like, again, she should have been greatly troubled, right? An angel comes and talks to her and tells her, "You're going to have a baby, and it's going to be the Son of God." And she, I mean, we don't know exactly how old Mary is, probably really young, okay? I mean, but imagine, ladies, being a freshman in college and hearing this, right? And you got to go home and tell your parents and your fiance and your friends. "Guess what? I'm going to have a baby." "But it's not what you think." "Really? This will be interesting," right? I mean, that's what you would do if you heard that. She's greatly troubled, which is probably why she went with haste to the hill country, right? "I'm getting out of here." But she quickly turns from being greatly troubled to being a person of of great peace. And that peace is expressed in humble worship because she trusted in God. Because of her faith in a God who was for her and working on her behalf and believing in his word, man. She trusted and she responded with humble worship. And the second thing I'll tell you about Mary is make sure we get about her. She is the recipient of blessing, not the giver of blessing. The point of Mary's song is not to celebrate herself, but to celebrate God's mercy. I want you to go back and see this. Verse 46 through 49. She says, Mary says, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in the God of my Savior, because he has looked upon the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. And here's why they're going to call her blessed. Because he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Mary is not the giver of mercy. Mary is the recipient of mercy. And when Mary receives this great blessing, her response is, man, God is gracious. He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And may that be our response. When God blesses us or gives us favor or whatever, may the response be Mary's response. He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Look, I get asked this a lot about Capstone Church because God has been really gracious to this church. And a question that I get asked a lot is, hey, what are y'all doing? And my standard answer is, we don't know. Because that really is the true answer, okay? What are y'all doing? And I say, let me tell you what. Over the last 6 years or so, well, here's what I can tell you. God's been really gracious to Capstone Church. That's all I can tell you. We don't have a great plan. We don't have, like, this unbelievable vision. We don't have real good, you know, yeah, good leaders. Kind of dumb, though, you know? I mean, yeah, good, but what has happened here is not because of leadership. It's not because of a plan. It's not because we had a good scope on what's going on. You know what's happened here? God has been really gracious to the people that are Capstone Church. He's been gracious to us corporately. He's been gracious to us individually. And my prayer for all of us is that we would have the heart of Mary here to realize, man, we're not where we are personally, with our families, corporately. We're not where we are because we figured something out. We are where we are. You're where you are because he who is mighty is doing great things for you. Because every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of the heavenly lights who does not change like the shifting shadows. And I pray that we would see Mary's heart and we would have the same heart when we think about God's mercy toward us. And then looking to this birth narrative of Jesus. All this we've been reading about in the Old Testament, about the Prince of Peace coming to Bethlehem. All of this, we see this fully brought to bear here in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Time out. If you're a parent that have small kids in your house, or even if you're a grandparent, if you don't have a copy of the Big Picture Story Bible by David Helm, as soon as the service is over with, you should go on Amazon or wherever you buy books and buy it. Okay? And here's because of the Christmas story. I love in that book, the way David writes this narrative. In the days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This is the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered in his hometown. And Joseph went up from Galilee to the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, because who was with child. Here's what David Helm says. He says, while Caesar was getting ready to show the world how great he was, God was getting ready to show the world how great he is. And God uses Caesar Augustus to accomplish his purposes and sends David from Nazareth back to Bethlehem to accomplish his purpose that he promised in Micah 5, that Bethlehem, though small among Judah, from him was going to come a ruler who was ancient and strong, a ruler who to the ends of the earth are going to be blessed, a ruler through whom he was going to be their peace. And how does God accomplish that? He uses a pagan ruler to send his man back to Bethlehem. So while Caesar is planning to show the world how great he is, God was getting ready to show the world how great he is. And while they were there, verse 6, time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. God perfectly keeps his promises. And that should cause us to rest in peace. So what about you and what about me? And we're done. Ephesians 2. How does this point us forward? Read Ephesians 2 and Galatians 4. And then John 14 and John 16. Okay. Knowing all the things we talked about, knowing the Christmas narrative, now for you. Therefore, remember that at one time, you Gentiles, which is every one of you that isn't a Jew, there's Jews and there's everybody else, okay? That's the Gentiles, which a bunch of Gentiles in here. You Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what was called the circumcision, which was made by in flesh by hands. Remember that you were at one time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Read Micah 5 here in this verse. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law and the commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in the place of the two, so making peace and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he, Jesus, came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who are near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers or aliens, but you're fellow citizens and saints and members of the household of God. And he himself is our peace. And he, you who were far off, you're welcome. You thought you were close, you're welcome too, okay? And we're both welcome by the blood of Christ because he himself is our peace. Galatians 4. He says, but when the fullness of time had come. Like, why did Jesus come when he came? Why did God send Jesus when he sent him? Why all the timing? You know why? Because God decided the fullness of time had come. That's why. Because God decided now's the time to do this. When the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent his spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, or Daddy, Father. You're no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. 2 points there. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, doesn't just bring peace. He himself is our peace. Okay, and I want to make sure you get this. Jesus is not just the bringer of peace, though he does bring peace. He is our peace. It's like what your relationship needs is not Jesus to sprinkle some magic pixie dust peace on it. Right? Your relationship doesn't need Jesus to sprinkle some peace on it. Your relationship needs more of Jesus because he is the peace. He's not just the giver of peace, he is the peace. Your home needs more Jesus in it. Our world needs more Jesus in it. Why? Because Jesus is our peace. You don't receive the peace of Christ without Christ himself, because he is the peace. And he brings it, right? But he doesn't bring it in a way that he's like, you know, slinging it. He brings it by him inserting himself into the situation. You need more peace in your marriage? Yeah, you do. You need more Jesus in your marriage. You need your kids need more peace? Yeah, they do. Your kids need more Jesus, right? Your work, your relationship, whatever it is. Because he's not just the bringer of peace. He is the peace. And we need to rest in the peace that he gives because we rest in him. And then secondly, at just the right time, God sent Jesus to redeem his people from their sins. So they hear this. You're not a slave. You are a son. We're the sons of God. Jesus, the peace bringer. Jesus, our peace. has adopted us into his family, not made us slaves, but he's made us sons and co-heirs with Christ. In John 14, he says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Therefore, don't let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. He also tells them in John 16, right before he goes to the garden to pray and then is arrested and crucified. He says, I've said these things to you that you may have peace. And peace is not the absence of trouble, because in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. You can have peace, and there's still probably going to be trouble. But you can have peace because you have me. You have peace because you have me. He is the peace giver because he himself is our peace. And the Father has sent him for us. And I pray that we would remember that about him this Christmas. And when you think about this, we're done, okay? I don't know what you think about when you think about God. We talked about this a few weeks ago. A.W. Tozier said that whatever you think about when you think about God is the most important thought you have, because by that thought, all your other thoughts are shaped. It's like if you think about God, that he's in heaven, that he's like an old man smoking a pipe, rocking on the front porch, just, you know, pawpaw. Well, then that affects what you think about him. If you think about God as like an eternal Santa Claus, that he's making his list and checking it twice and going to find out who's naughty and nice, like if that's the way you think about God, then that affects how you relate to him. It is. But we want, hopefully this Christmas, we'll see God truthfully for who he is. He is the peace giver. How does he give that peace? He gives it through his son. And what is he like? What is God like? This is what he's like. Zephaniah 3. I love these verses. It says, the Lord your God is with you. He's the mighty warrior who saves. He's not an old man smoking a pipe, drinking hot chocolate, okay? He's a mighty warrior who saves you. He takes great delight in you. He's not mad at you. He takes great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. These four things about Christmas peace and thinking about God in that, I want you to take home with you. Number one is he's with you. God's with you. And he delights in you. He takes great delight in you. This is one of the things about God that it always blows my mind, and that God knows everything about you and he still loves you. Like, he knows the intentions of your heart. He knows the attitudes. He knows the murderous and slanderous thoughts that you have. And he still takes great delight in you, because he's a gracious Father. He's with you. He takes great delight in you. Three, he quiets you with his love. I think the picture here is of a baby that's inconsolable, right? Y'all have all been there and done that. Like, you're holding somebody else's baby and they start crying. You're like, I don't know. Don't touch that baby. And then you give it to the mommy, and give it to mom. You know what mom does? Shh, right? Like, even as dad, I never had that. I never had that. You know, I'd be like, here, fed it and changed his diaper. And it didn't work, because Hannah needed to be quieted by the love of her mother. This is the picture here. Then we come before God. When you come to him, He welcomes you and says, shh, it's okay. Right? That's what he's like. That's what he's like. He's a mighty warrior that you don't mess with. And he quiets you with his love. That's how great he is. And he rejoices over you with singing. Right? Like, when God thinks about you, he sings. He rejoices with singing. He's a mighty warrior that'll whoop your butt, right? And he quiets you with his love, and he rejoices over you with singing. He has sent his son, Jesus, to bring you peace. But not like the world gives it. Doesn't bring it like the world gives it. He brings it only through him and through him alone. Real soul-satisfying peace is found only in the virgin-born, perfect, self-sacrifice, resurrected Son of God, Jesus, who has paid for our sins by his own blood, adopted us into his family, filled us with the Spirit, and guaranteed our inheritance of eternal life until we obtain possession of it. I pray this Christmas we would rest in that, we would hope in that, and we would know that Jesus Christ himself is our peace. So let's put our faith more fully in him. Would you join me as we pray together? Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Jesus, you're not just the bringer of peace, you are peace. And so, Lord, help us to find our rest in you. And I know we're all just running crazy. So, Lord, help us to stop and listen, to remember that you love us, you take great delight in us, you quiet us with your love, you rejoice over us singing, and you're a mighty warrior. Lord, help us to rest in your love for us. Help us reminding ourselves of these things together. It's good that we remind ourselves of this. And so I thank you for a chance to do that today. And I pray now as we respond to your word and singing, God, that you would move and work according to your good pleasure in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray.